Well, staying with housing and homelessness, the housing charity Focus Ireland has called for a plan to deal with the end of the winter eviction ban. It's due to expire in March, ahead of the release of today's homeless figures. They're due in under an hour from now. The charity says the ban has had a short-term positive impact by preventing families from losing their homes. It was brought in as a result of the cost of living crisis, you'll recall. However, Focus Ireland says there remains a long-term shortage of homes, which is driving homelessness. We'll hear from Louise Bayliss of Focus Ireland in just a moment. But first, Adele McAllister has been speaking to Jen. She's the mother of a 15-month-old baby. They're currently in emergency accommodation, unable to secure a long-term home.
So I came back from Canada in December 2021. My son was about 6 weeks old at the time. I booked myself into a hotel for a week, thinking I would walk into rental property within 3 to 4 days. I've rented since I was 18 years old. I've never ever had a problem with finding rental accommodation beforehand. It comes, you know, the week it kind of comes to an end, and I haven't gotten a single response from the hundreds of emails that I'd sent off at the time.
Tell me about your situation since then.
So I ended up staying in hotels until the 19th of January 2022, and it was thanks to Focus Ireland that I managed to get into a family hub in the city centre. Myself and my son are in an apartment now that's run by Dublin City Council and Focus Ireland as well.
But you've had a very stressful journey up to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy at all. It's a very isolating, lonely, depressing situation. You feel that there's absolutely no support for you out there, bar the support that you get from Focus.
Describe what it's like for somebody in your situation. You have a young toddler here, he's 15 months. What's it been like just trying to secure somewhere for yourself and your baby?
It was absolutely terrifying. I felt like a failure as a mother. I went to Canada with nothing, and I came back with €12,500, whereas when I had nothing, I was able to secure rental accommodation absolutely no problem at all. So I come back and I think that, okay, I'm studying for a degree now, I have income, I have savings, I have all the stuff that, you know, I was always told I needed previously, and in the 14 months that I've been back, I've had two replies to thousands of emails I've sent off, and neither of these estate agencies would let me bring my son with me to the viewings. So yeah, it's not easy, it's painful, it's terrifying, and again, I should be able to provide a home for my son, and instead...
You're here with your toddler today. What effect has all this had on him, do you think?
He's definitely very attached to me. Again, we've found it impossible to find anywhere childcare-wise because I don't know where we're going to be in a few months' time. There are at least a year to two waiting lists for childcare, whether you're paying or whether you're using the National Childcare Scheme or the ECCE. I can't put his name down for anywhere like that because I don't know where we're going to be living. I'm doing the best I can. I continue to save. I continue to apply for every single rental property, every single choice-based lettings property that comes up, and I hear nothing back. And I think hearing nothing back is probably worse than hearing you're not even suitable for it, you know.
And that was Jen speaking there to Adele McAllister. Well, we're joined here in studio by Louise Bayliss, campaign coordinator at Focus Ireland. Louise, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for coming in here. Jen, there, 14 months in emergency accommodation. I feel like a failure, she says. I mean, that's a terrible thing to hear a parent say. And of course, it's not true. I mean, she's obviously and clearly doing her very best for her little baby. But are parents with children, particularly young children, do they face a particular challenge?
They absolutely do. I think all parents with children, be it teenagers, because there's a different dynamic there as well when you're trying to deal with teenagers as well. So I think everybody, you know, every parent suffers when they have when they're in emergency accommodation. And what we see is there's a difference in families that are ending up in emergency accommodation. Maybe 10 years ago, people ended up in emergency accommodation as families because of addiction issues or mental health issues or some dysfunction in the family. Nowadays, that is not the case. And that's a really clear message we want to get out. It is an economic hardship. It is the reality of a housing crisis, a supply. And people are going in there fully functioning. As Jen there, you know, she had been working, she'd saved, she's studying for a degree. She's doing everything that you think you're following the rule book to have a happy, successful life. And this is the system has failed her, not that she has failed. And I suppose that's a message I would like to get out to the 11,500 people who are in there. You are not the failure. The state has failed you. The system has failed you. But I think one of the things that we do realise, and it's why we call that no child should be in emergency accommodation for long months, for more than 6 months, mm-hmm. because families can go into emergency accommodation and they can be very functional, whatever normal family is. But, you know, they're managing bills, they're paying their work. Working, their family dynamics are good. But after 6 months, the dynamic does change. There is a change in children, in the relationship. Guilt eats into parents, as Jen very clearly said there, where she's feeling guilty. That impacts how you parent. Not being able to long-term plan where your child is going to go to school. Not being able to provide the supports for your children, like allowing a child to go to Girl Guides or Scouts or GAA clubs. All those things that make form a fully rounded individual, those children are being denied that, and it does have an impact on them.
At the moment, in terms of those who are in accommodation, we've had this moratorium through the winter on notices to quit, on evictions, but that expires in March. Now, how concerned are you in Focus Ireland that could see a significant rise in the number of people being put out of their accommodation?
We have grave concerns about it, and that's why our clear message today is we want to see what the government has done during the winter eviction ban, and we'd love to see a progress report. When the eviction ban was announced, we completely supported it because we could see the flow into homeless accommodation and the small exits out. There was a build up and we needed to get some breathing space, mm-hmm. and that's what it was supposed to be, breathing space. And in that time, the 4 or 5 months, that there would be a plan of how to deal with it when the eviction ban ends. We would love to see what that plan is, how the progress is going, and what will happen in April, May, June as more and more people are released into it. Because even during the eviction ban, Brian, and this is really important to note, homelessness went up month on month. And that's scary. And we know it's going up month on month because evictions aren't happening. Previously, prior to this, since 2017, the main exits for people out of emergency accommodation was through the HAP scheme. Obviously now, landlords are leaving the market. We know there's a very limited supply of HAP tenancies and there's a build-up.
And just to remind listeners, evictions were stayed for the period of this ban, but eviction notices continue to be issued and they will be reactivated once
They will be reactivated. There's an awful lot of people who have an eviction notice and, you know, the clock is stopped for them.
Should the moratorium be extended?
That's a very difficult question. The moratorium can't go on endlessly, but what we do want to do is a plan when it comes out of how to end it. We need to use the breathing space, and that's why our message is, please, what is that progress on that plan? What is the plan? Otherwise, how are we going to resolve this?
Louise Bayliss from Focus Ireland, thanks very much for talking to us.